That is the question that I want you to answer. But I'll give you a hint, first of all, because of the Lamb of God, you don't have to pay anything. Out of all the animals God saw fit to put here on earth, two of them stick out in my mind as being truly unique, the lion and the lamb. They're unique because both of these creatures are used to describe some aspect or some characteristic of Jesus Christ our Lord. The lion is rather self-explanatory, isn't it? The king of his domain, powerful, majestic, fearsome. But then there's the cute little lamb. What is it about this helpless, innocent animal that gives us insight into the heart and the mind of God? The answer is found in the price of your sin and the sins of the whole world. But this truth was something the people of Israel did not understand the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem upon a young donkey. Being blind to God's plan, they rejoiced at the thought of the Lion of Judah, freeing them from the outward oppression of Roman rule. After all, Jesus was the heir to the throne of David. Surely God had sent him to rule and reign during their desperate time of need. Hosanna, they shouted. Save us now. And indeed, Jesus, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, had come to save lost souls and to rule in the hearts of mankind. Meditate, if you will, on his wondrous love for lost souls, his wondrous love for mankind.
Wondrous love that will not let me go, I cling to you with all my strength and soul. Yet if my hope should ever fail, this wondrous love will never let me go. Love that's come to dwell in me.
Lord, who am I that I should come to know
your tender voice assuring me your wondrous love will never let me go? I'm casting in the everlasting arms, in the ever-faithful heart, the shepherd of my life. You carry me on your mighty wings of grace, keeping me until the day I look into your eyes, your eyes. Oh, wondrous love. Of Calvary, the sweetest sound this sinner's ever known, the song of your redeeming Son, whose wondrous love will never let me go. I'm resting in the everlasting arms, in the ever-faithful heart, the shepherd of my life,
my life.
You carry me on your mighty wings of grace, keeping me until the day I walk into your eyes, your eyes. Oh,
wondrous love that rushes over me.
I can't escape this river's glorious flow.
You overwhelm my days with good. Your wondrous love will never let me go. Oh, wondrous love.
The feelings of euphoria were short-lived. The people's expectations of their newly chosen king went unfulfilled. Jesus did not take the leadership necessary to gather a rebel army to cleanse the city of Roman forces and take back Jerusalem. That was not his purpose. He did, however, choose to openly criticize and condemn the religious leaders and teachers for their blatant hypocrisy and their hard hearts. "Ye serpents," he shouted, "ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" And then, as from a loving heart languishing in pain of rejection, he cries out to his chosen people, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." And barely 3 days later, before Pilate, their governor, his beloved people demanded that Jesus be crucified. And so God's holy lamb had come to be sacrificed for a world that hated him. The Apostle John tells us, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Let us not be shocked. We're a very foolish and fickle people, aren't we? Was it not prophesied long ago that we would reject our Savior? The prophet Isaiah wrote, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it were our faces from him." Have you turned your face from Jesus? Have you turned from the one who can save your soul? My friend, let me urge you to turn around. Turn to face him today. The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Perhaps you've been rejecting Jesus for a very long time, but please note that he has not rejected you. Turn from your sin and receive Jesus.
Jesus, don't delay. Trust the Savior while you may. There is no promise of tomorrow. You only have today. Turn to Jesus, don't delay. Turn to Jesus. The Savior while you may. There is no promise of tomorrow. You only have today. Turn to Jesus, don't delay. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see.
If there is any greater trait that describes Almighty God, it would be to say that God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The seraphim cry as they encircle the throne of God. The whole earth is full of his glory. Do you know what it means to be holy? Immediately we begin to think about his sinlessness, his utter perfection. And that is true. However, these traits combined with so many other unique characteristics speak to the holiness of God. In other words, he is in every way unequaled. The scripture tells us, there is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides thee, nor is there any rock like our God. Because God is above all things, he not only sets the standard, he is the standard. Our God is holy. And that is why Jesus, God the Son, came to earth. He was the only one who had the ability to satisfy God the Father's holy standard. You see, we had all sinned against him. And so he alone was worthy to take the sins of the world upon himself, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. The price of our sin had to be paid. Someone's blood had to be shed. And whoever it was had to be unequaled, holy. So Jesus, the holy Lamb of God, hung on the cross and shed his blood to pay the price for the sins of the world. No one knew this more than the thief who hung on the cross beside the Savior. In great physical stress, when all hope was gone, he turned to Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Have you ever thought that maybe God was too busy to deal with you? Or perhaps you thought you've just been too bad of a person for him to even listen or care. Dear friend, you've been so very wrong. If Jesus remembered the thief on the cross, he will remember you. Can I encourage you this morning to look to Jesus there upon the cross, to see him suffering there for you, the holy Lamb of God.
agony and blood. Who fixed his loving eyes on me as near his cross I stood. And never till my dying breath will I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. And own the guilt and plunge me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt and helped to nail him there. But with a second look he said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for your ransom paid. I died that you might live.
Aren't you thankful for the love of Christ this morning, the fact that he took our place? Let's stand together. 186 in the hymnal, The Old Rugged Cross. 186, sing with us the first and the last stanzas.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering.
Till What a Savior we serve. Resurrection Sunday, what a wonderful day that we have resurrection life because of Him. We too have taken part in His death, burial, and resurrection. And we walk in newness of life with Christ Jesus. How wonderful that is. And the missionaries out there all around the world just reaching others with the gospel. We need to remember them in prayer every day of our lives. Support them. Make sure that we remember them. We want to remember this morning David and Julie McCrum in South Africa. Be praying for them out of our church. And then also Michael and Barbara Hinson, the McCrums. After attending their church for 6 months, Philip was saved. And so praise the Lord for that one that was saved. And they divided their ministry in their youth ministry, and they have grown junior and senior ministries now numerically and, of course, spiritually. And then there's many more added to the learning ministries, their discipleship program. So praise the Lord for that. And then with the Hinsons, Michael and Barbara Hinson, they're adjusting to the culture and the cement houses in winter. Wow. And after much time and work, Michael was granted a 5-year visa. So praise the Lord for that. And as they continue on now with their studies, their language studies, and reaching others for Christ, let's remember them in prayer. And we do want to thank the Lord. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you for this time that we can give. Give from hearts of love to those that are going around the world, to people that are lost and dying and in darkness. And we pray for all of our missionaries, Lord, and especially the McCrums and the Hinsons this morning. Bless them and give them strength and power and might in the inner man. May they be able to walk close by your side, and in this resurrection power, may they be able to share Christ openly and boldly with many around them, that many might be saved. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us would be counted faithful in sharing Christ with those around us. Give us the boldness that comes with this resurrection life. May we be able to clearly present the gospel and the Holy Spirit touch hearts and lives and convict so that many might be saved. And on this special day, we do want to remember our lost loved ones, Lord, and pray for them that they'd be saved and find Jesus Christ as Savior before it's too late. Now bless the rest of this time together as you bless the offering that we take up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Still he loves me through death.
The fear of death is something that most people have in common, is it not? What actually does lie beyond that mysterious dark curtain? We know from Scripture that there are only two destinations awaiting us, heaven or hell. I don't like sounding so blunt, but what we all deserve is the latter. Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." And this death means eternal separation from God, forever being punished in the fires of hell. This is what your sin has earned for you. And if you're like me, this is one paycheck that you really don't want to collect. And the good news is? Well, the good news is you don't have to. Jesus Christ, God's holy Lamb, has already paid the price. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Hallelujah! Jesus lives. Amen. This truth is so vital to our faith. His death paid the price for our sin, and his resurrection is the evidence of that. His victory over death is proof that he is God. It's proof that his words are true, and that he indeed conquered death, and that he alone is the giver of life. Do you see, my friend, you no longer have to face the fear of death. He faced it for you. And because he was raised to life, you can live also. You can now look forward to life eternal in the glories of heaven. What a joy to wake each morning, praising God for salvation. and knowing that heaven is your eternal home. You can now look forward to life eternal in the glories of heaven above because Christ arose. What a wonderful promise that is. But before you leave today, I want you to make sure that that precious promise applies to you. The Apostle John tells us that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. That wonderful word propitiation means that Jesus satisfied God's righteous demands. His resurrection is proof that he paid the price for our sin. Jesus successfully took our place on the cross. The punishment he suffered for us was enough. Do you understand? We no longer have to face the fear of death. Yes, our physical bodies will die one day, but our eternal souls can live on in the glories of heaven for all eternity. But that's up to you. You must make a decision. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 4 that Jesus was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Because Jesus rose again from the dead, we have been pardoned. We're no longer guilty before God. That is, if you have faith in your heart that this is so, and if you make the decision to call out to him. Repent of your sin and confess him as Lord of your life. The scriptures tell us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God's holy Lamb, Jesus Christ, is now calling you into his fold. Will you come and be saved today? Nothing can compare. Come now and behold your God.
All creation rises to rejoice.